This podcast is made possible by the generous contributions from listeners just like you. If you have the means and you'd like to contribute, click on the link in the show description to go to my supporter page. Once you're there, it's completely up to you how much you'd like to give. There's no minimum and no maximum and no ongoing charges. Enjoy this episode and thanks for listening to the Saturday Quiz.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hi there! Welcome to the Saturday Quiz. My name's John Leary, and as host of this podcast, I ask the 10 quiz questions written by Cindy McDonald and published in the Saturday paper, and after I've asked them, my guests give it a go at answering them. Simple. Just the other night, the Melbourne International Comedy Festival opened, so on this episode of the podcast, which I am recording in Melbourne, I have some international comedians as my guests. The pages on the Comedy Festival website for both their shows begins with the idea that they're fresh from their successes at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. I don't know if that means they've had relaxing, enjoyable flights to Australia, or if they just have a lazy, cut-and-paste attitude to self-promotion. Welcome to the show, Chloe Petz and Rob Orton.
Hello, thanks for having us.
Oh, thanks for both coming onto the show.
Hi, John, thank you.
How's it going? Now,
the lazy thing.
Yeah, is it the lazy thing?
Yeah, of course. Like every comedian that you, like, we have to write those blurbs about 7 months before we even do the show. So yeah. If it doesn't start with fresh from, then what else are we writing?
Indeed. Yeah, it struck me as quite funny because, yeah, you're both fresh from Edinburgh. But your flights, I am given to understand, were quite enjoyable.
Yeah, I think that they were great. I mean, I really enjoyed locking into. I watched 7 films, and I was really pleased with that. I watched Big again for the first time in ages, and if anyone is listening who has watched Big about 15 years ago and is thinking, oh, I like it, but never watch it, just watch it. That opening scene of him fighting that monster in the on the graphic thing of the little wizard walking down, it's so nostalgic. It's brilliant. Yeah, good flight.
Oh, excellent. That's good. Wow, 7 films. That's quite an achievement.
Rob tried to watch the same film as I did, the Nick Cage film Dream Scenario, but you had to stop for quite a unique reason, Rob.
What's that?
Yeah, I couldn't get on with the shape of Nicolas Cage's head. It was just too weird for me.
Is it different to his other films?
Yeah, it's like, took about face off. It looks like he's had his head off and looked like I've had another head replaced. But I'm not slagging off Nicolas Cage, you know. I don't know if he's going to be in Melbourne this month, but...
I don't know if he listens to this podcast, but sure.
Yeah, we'll see. But with Fresh From, I feel like if you said Match Fit From, that's a compliment.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think, because Chloe and I, we've both been doing tours. So we did the Edinburgh Festival, and then we've done tours of these shows. So it's like, right, we're here, we're match fit, we're ready.
Excellent.
To go. Yeah,
yeah, we should talk about your shows, because yours, Rob, is titled or interestingly titled The Rob Orton Show.
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't want to have to come up with a name 7 months in advance.
No, well, I did actually, because I always do shows on very specific themes. So the first show I ever did was all about the colour yellow, and it was called The Yellow Show, and it was an hour just all about the colour yellow. And then next year I did a show all about the sky called The Sky Show. And then this is my 10th one on a specific theme, and this time it's all about me, and it's called The Rob Orton Show, yeah.
I see. Okay. Well, right. That I take it back. You have... quite obviously thought quite deeply about it. People in Melbourne can go and see your show, The Rob Orton Show, on Tuesdays to Saturdays. It's on at 6:30 and Sundays at 5:30 in the Flag Room at the Melbourne Town Hall during the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. And Chloe, your show is called If You Can't Say Anything Nice.
Yeah, you're very professional at teeing us up for self-promotion. Thank you very much.
Go for it.
Yeah. So mine's about it's an exploration of and a love letter to anger, because I'm quite like a I'm an angry person, but I don't really put it in, like, no one would know, none of my friends would really know, or they do now because it kind of slips out. But like, just people on the street just get on my nerves. Like, they just get in the way all the time, and like, I get very angry at like what I perceive to be very small in like small injustices. Like, if someone's playing music out loud on their phone on the bus, like, it really riles me up. I wondered whether like I was actually angry at that stuff, or maybe I was angry at something else. And so it's a kind of look at that, because I'm also a massive soccer fan, and you know, we're the angriest people in all of the land. So it's like, why have I chosen that place as my sort of safe space, the place where you know, angry young men go and shout at other angry young men?
That's fine. Yeah. Who's your
Yeah,
team?
Crystal Palace.
Crystal Palace.
Maybe
Okay.
that's why I'm angry.
Yeah, maybe. Well, people can see you getting angry or not getting angry or dealing with your anger Tuesdays to Saturdays at 8:50 and Sundays at 7:50. So you're both an hour earlier than you normally are on a Sunday. And you are on, Chloe, you're in the Western Three. Have you guys gone and had a look at your venues?
Yeah, we had. Well, I did my tech yesterday, where we run through all the sound cues and everything like that. And I'm in the flag room on the second floor of the Melbourne Town Hall. It was great, you know, coming over to Australia. I was worried about the content of my show translating, and still am because I haven't done a show yet. But getting in that room and going through some of the cues and thinking about what was in my show was kind of. It really settled me. The thing is with a long flight is that you just have so much time to think.
Or
And,
watch
if
films.
you're, yeah, I mean, I watch films. And, but when I wasn't watching films, I was just worrying. And doing the tech was great. Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Excellent. Great. And how's the Westin 3, Chloe?
I haven't actually been there yet. I've been in those
Oh, okay.
rooms, so I know what it looks like, and I know that they do an amazing job of making it look fantastic. But in regards to what Rob said about things translating, like, I think a lot of the fun is in trying to explain different things to an Australian audience. Like, for example, I've mentioned Crystal Palace. Probably it's not the record for how quickly I've mentioned Crystal Palace in an unrelated podcast, but I've done pretty well. But Palace, we our biggest rivals are Brighton in England. And I understand that there's a Brighton here who has a very particular set of people who I think everyone seems to hate. So that's good. We've got that in common.
Yeah,
Yeah.
good.
We're finding
Excellent.
common ground. And what I'm going to do at the beginning of my show is I'm going to have like a glossary where I'm going to explain everything that everyone will need to know for the show. And
Yeah, great.
hopefully everyone will be caught up.
Well, very good. All right, well. On this podcast, before we actually get into the questions that are part of the quiz, I ask my guests if they have a favorite piece of trivia. Do either of you have a favorite piece of trivia?
Rob, you must do. You're trivia man number one.
Well, thank you for Chloe.
But throwing you into it.
My favorite piece of trivia is probably I've got a question in the show I did about all about the color yellow, which is why. Is a grapefruit called a grapefruit? Do you know why?
Oh, this is good. Why is a grapefruit called a grapefruit? Jim Gaffigan. Do you know the American comedian Jim Gaffigan?
Yeah, I think so.
He does a great bit on explanations that doctors use for, you know, the size of a cancer patient's tumor, and he
Oh, yeah.
talks about the like the relative sizes of fruit, like, you know, when his wife is diagnosed with a brain tumor, and the doctor says it's about the size of a pear. But yeah, he sort of jokes about it being a grape fruit. You know, the doctor's saying grape, and you're like, oh, that's okay. And then putting
Is it
fruit on the
something to
end
do
of
with
it.
tumours, Rob?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Why is a grapefruit called a grapefruit?
It's because they grow in bunches like grapes. And I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
Really?
How is that
Yeah.
physically possible?
Yeah, it's a good Google. I know you've got to have a strong tree for that.
Yeah.
No, I just don't see them sitting a lot side by side. I just can't believe that, Rob.
You're Googling
Well,
it
that's
right
it. If
now.
you're going to buy a bag of grapefruits that has as many grapefruits in it as a bag of grapes, then, you know, it's going to be about 5 meters wide, isn't it?
Yeah,
But
that's a bit.
Right. I see
How about
what's
you, Chloe?
happened. Hang on, wait, I see what's happened with the grapefruit thing. I was thinking that they would all be on one stalk, but there's a big central stalk and then multiple stalks off it.
Yeah.
So if anyone was getting worried at home, then stand down. Everything's okay.
It's okay.
I don't know. I'm not really very, very well, actually, I just walked to get a coffee before the podcast, and I heard some American tourists talking about Nando's, because we walked past the Nando's, and they went, "Hey, that's that Portuguese chicken," and it was really cool, like hearing people talk about Nando's for the first time. He
Yeah.
was saying, "I didn't know that." He was like, "Bit that." Oh no, I'm doing Australian now. How did you do American? Whatever. He had an American accent, and he
Sure.
said that the peri peri salt in Nando's is a spice that the Portuguese took from East Africa when they were colonizing. And I thought, what? That man was so annoying, but he also taught me something this morning, and
Yeah,
that's pretty
nice. Okay. I like that. That's a nice bit of, yeah, you know, talking about colonization and
Yeah, it's very on our minds as British people. Possibly not enough, but
well, us
you know.
too, absolutely. And it kind of segues, well, sort of a little bit nicely to our first question, which is a question about food. So, question number one, in Japanese cuisine, what is dashi?
Now, I have to admit that I'm very competitive. So,
Well, the truth on this podcast is that you can be competitive if you want, but really, you're on the same team.
oh, really?
Okay.
Oh, that's good for me. That's good. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I need that because I was
You were
there.
ready to fight, Rob.
I know where his hotel room is, and I was ready to jump up. But what I need you to do is hold me accountable. I think I need to have my hands in the Zoom screen, because if I feel that my level of competition is threatened, then I will cheat. And
Okay.
I don't want to. I don't
Yeah.
want to be that person. Dashy.
Dashi,
Dashy.
I'm going straight to like some sort of additional condiment, but that's because I'm just thinking like a dash of, and that's the English
All right.
language sound in me, which is just wrong. So
But
let's not
maybe
go with
that's
that.
where we got the word dash. Maybe we've adopted a
What
dash
other
of
words have
something.
we? I don't think we've adopted any words from Japanese culture. It would be so strange if that was the
Oh,
one that we chose.
yeah, we haven't adopted very many. The one that springs to mind for me is honcho, like the head honcho.
Oh, interesting. Okay, fair
And
enough.
that's from Japanese, and it's from like honcho is a Japanese word for the biggest island that makes up Japan.
Is it?
Very good.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it is. It's just off the top of my head. I think
That's
that's what it
great.
is. Yeah.
Pretty cool that I like that fact. Can I change my favorite piece of trivia?
Sure, to that.
Yeah, dashi
Dashi,
now.
yeah. Let me tell you this. It's made generally, or you know, traditional, yeah, most often made by combining three ingredients. Only three ingredients.
So do you think it's like a sauce, Rob? Like soy sauce, wasabi, and honey, or something?
I feel like it might be
Oh,
something like that.
alcoholic.
It's not alcoholic,
It's
no.
tomatoes,
You're on
thinking.
the kind of on the right track, not with the ingredient. You've got the ingredients completely wrong, but you're on the right track of what it sort of is.
A sauce.
It's kind of a sauce. Oh, I'm looking
Marinade.
for something more.
Marinade, that's good. Liquid?
It
Like a is it a liquid?
is definitely liquid, but what else comes in a liquid if it's not a sauce?
Lighter fluid.
That's true. Yep.
Flopping back into your anger there, Chloe.
Yeah, because I'm thinking about burning this podcast down right now. Okay, so I think, is it like a creamy drink?
No, it's not really a drink. What other
Is
part
it?
of cuisine is in liquid
Okay.
form? Blood.
All right.
Soup.
Soup.
So what
Yeah,
is
it's
it
soup.
soup?
It's a kind of a base for a it's soup stock or broth. It's used as a base for soups and stews and sauces. But dashi, in its most traditional form, is just made by simmering in water kombu, which is seaweed, and shave katsuobushi, which is dried, fermented, and smoked tuna
Whoa.
that they shave.
I know I jested about lighter fluid, but I really do feel like the Japanese play with fire in terms of their cuisine. There's so many elements that if an English person ate, it would be like, I'm on the toilet for several days. They must have stomachs of steel. Yeah. But I'm so glad that they're sort of the vanguard of people that sort of explore that those cuisines, because it's absolutely delicious.
Yeah, it is absolutely delicious.
I tell you what, the food in Melbourne is great though, isn't it?
Oh,
segue.
So good.
Yeah. Oh gosh, if you want Japanese cuisine, can I recommend going to a cafe called Chibi? So it's C-I-B-I. This is not paid content for, you know. And it's
C-I-B-I.
A Japanese cafe in Collingwood. You guys are in the city somewhere?
Yeah, Rob and I will commute to that. That sounds amazing.
It's not far. It's brilliant, just to give it its due. It's the place where Harry Styles had his breakfast while in Melbourne.
You don't understand how much I love Harry Styles.
Really?
I will be there. It's quite off-brand for me, but there's just something about Harry that does something to me.
Quite literally, I was there because I go to this cafe pretty much daily, or at least weekly. I just look up and I was like, huh, that's a pretty cool tracksuit. Like, you know, the full Gucci head-to-toe kind of deal. And I was like, oh, that's Harry Styles.
That's amazing.
There you go.
That's epic. I mean, that is a good celebrity spot.
It sure is, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we should get going. So let's get on with question number two. Neither a borrower nor a lender be is a line from Act 1, Scene 3 of which Shakespeare play?
Now, we must know this, Rob.
Yeah, come on. The Bard. You got to know this.
Neither a borrower or a lender be.
Mm. Is it Hamlet?
Yeah, it is Hamlet.
Rob, we're meant to show our working together. Sorry.
How do you know that, Rob? Or do you know who says it in Hamlet?
Is it Hamlet?
It's not Hamlet.
To be honest, that was a guess. Oh, but I have read Hamlet and it was one of the ones where I thought, whoa, this guy, Shakespeare, good writer.
He'll go far.
And I thought, right, I'm going to get into Shakespeare. I never did. And do you know what? I one of my main regrets in life is every time I see a football goal, like a soccer goal, whenever I see a goal, I just think I want to kick a football into that. And one of my main regrets in life is not playing more football. And I think, well, it's kind of too late for me now. Whereas I can still get into Shakespeare, definitely.
It's definitely in your future, Rob.
I was trying to see where you were going with that one, but you didn't go the way that I thought.
Hang on. No. Neither a borrower nor a lender be. It's Act 1, Scene 3.
Correct. So this is not said by Hamlet.
It's not said by Hamlet.
Yeah, you're going to tell me who says it.
Is it Polonius?
It is Polonius.
Boom!
Boom, you got it.
Well done.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Question number three. Taylor Swift's first song to chart on the Billboard Hot 100 was named after which country singer and actor?
Ooh.
How's your... So we've talked about Harry Styles. How's your Tay-Tay knowledge?
I'm not being...
Not brilliant.
No.
But I don't know. Do you know Chloe?
Dolly Parton?
Not Dolly Parton, no. It that's a good guess, though. It's the debut single from her self-titled debut studio album that came out in 2006. And the song was written by Taylor Swift when she was a freshman in high school and acknowledges the reality that she and her boyfriend will break up when he goes away to college because he was a senior in high school. And in the lyrics, Swift's character pleads with her ex-boyfriend to remember her every time he hears her favorite song, which is called Can't Tell Me Nothing by this artist. It's a male country singer.
Like Springsteen?
No. How am I going to get you there if you...
I don't really know much about country. Is it like a very famous name that we would...
Well, yeah. I mean, if you were...
Not Willie Nelson.
No, younger than that kind of cohort. TM are his initials.
Tony Mowbray.
So who's that? That's a footballer, isn't it? Commentator.
Like an old school football manager who managed like Portsmouth.
Is it a Tom?
It's not Tom. It's the other one. Put a different vowel in the middle there.
Tim.
Tim
Westwood. Tim
His name, the country singer that Taylor Swift's first song was named after, is Tim McGraw.
Nope.
No,
nope.
Never heard of him?
It rings a bell, but I never would have got that.
Yeah.
Tim McGraw, no, never heard of him. But, you know, I like music, but unfortunately did not get the answer to that.
Didn't know that one. That's all right. All right, question number four. See if you can get this one. Does a shrew have feathers, fur, or fins?
Fur.
Yeah.
Very
good.
Mine was fur. But, Rob, stop this. Stop just shouting. you know that that's not right. You know that.
I think that this is when, if I'm on a quiz team and I know the answer, then I just say it. Whereas a podcast quiz where we need to work as a team, that is not how you do it. So moving forward with the next questions, we will be conferring.
All right, good. But look, when this question came up, I thought if I had Australians on the podcast as my guests, I think it would have been a little trickier for them, because although there are estimated to be 100 billion shrews in the world, we don't have any here in Australia.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Can you describe for my audience what a shrew is?
Yeah, so they're fans of Shrewsbury Town FC. And they're an absolute...
When did this podcast become a football podcast? Just with
the moment that I came on.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's funny to me, because when you asked the question, does a shrew have whatever, whatever, whatever,
yeah,
I thought it was a trick question, because like it's so obviously fur, and I thought it was going to be one of those questions like, is a tomato a vegetable or a fruit?
Ah.
And it was a romantic thing, which is why I would have thought about it for a little bit longer than Rob Orton over there.
Sure.
But shrew is basically just like a tiny little mammal, like a sort of like a mouse.
Yeah. Although they look like mice, they aren't rodents.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. They're more closely related to moles and hedgehogs.
Right.
Yeah. Question number five. What word beginning with C, which literally means light, dark in Italian, defines the treatment or general distribution of light and shade in a picture?
What do you think, Chloe?
Do you know, Rob?
I've got an idea.
Go on. Say your idea, but say it in a sentence rather than... Say a sentence that builds up to it. Crescendo at it.
The word that I'm thinking of, light and dark, to do with pictures, beginning with C, is contrast, but that doesn't sound Italian to me.
No.
There's a different word that I'm thinking of that begins with C that would describe it.
Thank you for talking in complete sentences, the pair of you.
You're welcome. Contrast, yeah, it doesn't scream Italian, but if you said a contratto, then no. maybe it comes from that.
It might come from that, but that is not the word that I'm looking for here.
Ooh,
there okay. is a more particular word, and it gets used a lot when talking about like Renaissance art, and in particular, what's his name? So it's when there's like a really huge contrast between light and dark. And so these paintings, Caravaggio is the painter I'm thinking of. And he is most often talked about when talking about this quality in paintings. So like really dark background, like black backgrounds, and then people's faces or skin tones that are really pale and kind of stand out from that black background.
Okay.
I think we're gonna kick ourselves, but I just can't think of the word.
It is chiaroscuro.
Oh, well, I've seen that written down.
Yeah.
So it's that's contrast in Italian, I think.
Yeah, it kind of is. It does literally mean light, dark. So chiara is light and scuro is dark.
I used to work in an art supply shop.
And, oh, yeah.
There was an Italian lady who worked there called Chiara.
Ah.
So I now know that her name meant light.
There you go. Yeah. So chiaroscuro is how we spell it.
That's very cool. Remember that, Rob.
Yeah. Excellent. We're going to take a little break. We'll be right back.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You're listening to the Saturday Quiz. I'm joined today by Rob Orton and Chloe Petz, and we are up to question number 6. The Vatu is the currency of which country?
Big question, that. Rob, yeah. Do you know?
Vatu, no, V-A-T-U. I've never heard of it.
No?
Vatu.
Yeah.
Is it Vanuatu?
It is Vanuatu.
Oh, yes.
Very well done. Yeah.
So this is so stupid. There's a football podcast in the UK called the Peter Crouch Podcast, and they talk about Vanuatu constantly. So the only reason I know that is because of football again. I'm so sorry.
Wow. Why do they talk about Vanuatu?
So Peter Crouch talks about like the life of a professional footballer because he's like so loaded. He has a woman that sorts his holidays out. So he basically will just call her up and be like, I want to go here. And then they'll go. And then for some reason they said like they started making a joke that they were going to go to Vanuatu.
Well, there you go. Great. I thought I was going to have to edge you there, but very well done.
if we hadn't known that, I don't think there would have been any way of you edging us there because like you've either heard of Vanuatu or you haven't.
Yeah.
And I haven't.
Good work. Vanuatu has the Vatu as their currency. All right, question number 7. Professor Abraham Van Helsing is a fictional character in which 1897 novel, and there's a bonus point for naming the author.
Van Helsing, is that not Dracula and Bram Stoker?
Oh, look at you.
Did you know that, Rob? Sorry.
No, look, I'm just letting you get some. No, I did not know that, and I would never have got there. But I've been to the birthplace of Dracula.
What? To Transylvania?
Isn't it Whitby in Yorkshire in England?
That's where Mina Harker's from.
Who's that?
In the book.
Yeah. So the English parts are set in Whitby, but then she moves across the sea to where Dracula.
But do you know where the birthplace is of Bram Stoker, the author?
Is it Poland?
No.
Melbourne.
It's not Melbourne. It's much closer to where you guys are from.
York.
Well, not that close.
Oh. Okay. France?
No, the other way. Dublin.
Wow.
Yeah. So Bram, who was also named Abraham, Stoker was Irish. Yeah.
So wait, is Van Helsing's first name Abraham?
It is.
Wow, so there's like some real wish fulfillment in there then.
Yeah, it was also his dad's name as well. Okay. Now this one is your sports question, and I'm really sorry that it's not a football question. If I could, I would make it a football question, but it's not. It's a golf question.
Ooh,
question number 8. Which golfer and current PGA world number 1 made history recently by winning the Players Championship for the second consecutive year? How are you with golf?
I like golf, but I don't know who the world number 1 is at the moment.
Again, it will be a name that I know. My dad's very into golf, and I sort of keep across it when I'm at home with him, but I haven't been there for a while. It's not going to be Rory McIlroy. I don't think he's done
correct.
That well.
Correct. That's not his name.
I'm going to be naming every single golfer now.
That you know.
Is it an American?
It is an American. Yeah. Yep.
Oh, what's his name? I can see him in my head.
Is it Justin Thomas?
No, incorrect. I'm surprised you both actually know some golf stuff.
I love golf.
What's his name?
Do you love golf? Wow. Do you love playing or?
I love playing. I don't really like watching it on TV.
Uh-huh.
But I love playing golf, yeah.
Yeah, right.
It's one of my favourite things to do as a child. I like solitary sports.
Really?
So golf and fishing, yeah.
Wow.
But we've got a thing in England called Argos. That was like a store that has a catalogue in it, and I think I like golf and fishing because both the equipment was on like a double page spread of the Argos catalogue.
That's very cute.
And as well, I'm the only person I can let down on, you know, non-team sports. You know what I mean? That's why I go towards them.
Yeah, lovely.
Is his name like Brett something?
No, it's not Brett. Two S's are his initials. SS.
Oh.
His surname kind of has a, I would say it probably has German origins.
Stefan Schwartz is ex-Arsenal, isn't he?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to get it.
Yeah, I don't know if you are either.
What's your first name?
Scotty.
Oh, Schneider.
No, not Schneider either. Wow. Oh.
I don't think I know this.
His name, the world number one in the PGA rankings, is Scotty Scheffler.
Oh, yeah.
Heard of him?
It was in the back of my head, but I never would have brought it to the surface.
Yeah. And do you know anything about the what is called the Players Championship?
And they have to go around, like, they play golf, but they have to, like, pick up ladies on the way.
Yeah, the Players. Probably not Scotty Scheffler. He is a quite a devout Christian, so.
Oh, I hoped you were going to say devout gay man.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We can wind back and talk more about Bram Stoker, if you like. He was almost certainly a deeply closeted gay man. But yeah, at the time, it wasn't so cool. But, you know, he married Oscar Wilde's fiancée.
Ah.
Really?
Yeah. And visited, you know, was one of the other writers that visited Oscar Wilde when he was on the continent. He also, this is Bram Stoker.
He definitely fucked Oscar Wilde.
Oh, yeah, he definitely did.
That's so cool.
He also had like a deep kind of connection with Walt Whitman in the United States. Yeah, Bram Stoker gives off a lot of
big gay vibes. It's interesting because that sort of gives like new credence to like the phallic imagery of like a stake through the heart.
Sure, yeah.
It's sort of, you know, he's Bram Van Helsing and it's like that's maybe he wanted to have sex with Dracula.
Maybe. I mean, don't we all?
Well, like a dick through the heart.
I don't know if that's a gay thing. Is that a gay thing?
In some ways. Yeah, it would be bad if you had a kink for watching yourself have sex in the mirror.
Yeah, you just look like you're alone.
Yeah, just fucking thin air.
All right, we are up to... Oh, no, I thought we were up to the final question, but we're not. We're up to question number 9.
Time flies when you're having fun, Johnny.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad. Was the Suez Canal or the Panama Canal built first?
Oh, dear. Well, I don't know anything about this, and this is going to make me sound very stupid.
Not at all.
I don't know what the Panama Canal is. Do you, Rob?
I think it was the Panama Canal.
That was built first?
Yeah. What came first? Was it the Suez hat or the Panama hat? Do you know?
I don't know if either hat can help you particularly well with
the answer
with dating when the
thing
canals
is though is that
were...
Rob Orton saying what came first, the Suez hat or the Panama hat, is a way that he would open one of his shows.
What I'm not big on canals. Do you have canals in Australia?
Not really. No, I can't think of a canal system in Australia.
Really?
Yeah, not really.
What about tunnels? Do you have tunnels here?
We certainly
like
have tunnels.
The underground trains go through.
We do. We do have underground trains and tunnels roads and.
So if I said before mobile phones, people didn't apologise for going through tunnels, people would laugh. Maybe.
But if you said that, yes, people will.
Definitely they would know what I was talking about.
Rob, I think you're mistaking Australians for. Stupid people.
Oh, shut up.
So, Suez Canal.
Or the Panama Canal. I'll tell you, one of them opened in 1869 and the other one opened in 1914.
Oh, I think that was the Suez because the only reason I've heard of the Suez Canal is because of that boat that got stuck that was really funny.
Last year or the year before?
Yeah, your impulse was Panama first, Suez second, and that's my impulse too. Lock it in, final answer.
Lock it in, okay. Well, in that case, you are both incorrect. I'm sorry. Construction of the Suez Canal lasted from 1859 to 1869 and opened in November of 1869. But the Panama Canal, work didn't begin on that until 1881. And it was started by France, but they stopped because they ran out of money, basically. And then the US took over the project in 1904, finally opening the canal in 1914. Do you know the palindrome? Are you guys into palindromes?
No.
No? Do you know what a palindrome is?
Is it to do with cycling?
That's a velodrome, Rob.
Nice. No, a palindrome is, you know, a word or a sentence that is the same forwards as it is backwards. And there's a very famous one about, well, the Panama Canal, which is a man, a plan, a canal, Panama.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
That's so, a man, a plan, a canal, Panama.
Panama, wow. Yeah.
Race car's a good one, isn't it?
Race car is a very good one. I did also find a extension of the A Man, A Plan, A Canal, Panama, which goes like this. And this is a palindrome. It blows my mind. A man, a plan, a canoe, pasta, heroes, rajahs, a coloratura, maps, snipe, percale, macaroni, a gag, a banana bag, a tan, a tag, a banana bag again, or a camel, a crepe, pins, spam, a rut, a rollo, cash, a jar, saw hats, a peon, a canal, Panama.
You know whoever came up with that was a right twat. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's really great. Whoever sat there doing that, you think, oh, grow up.
Grow up.
Look at the sun. Come on.
Oh, funny. I really like palindromes. Yeah. Maybe I need to grow up. Maybe I'm a right twat.
Is it you that came up with it?
Yeah, how dare you?
Just sat there for years and years and I've just gone, that guy's a twat.
Yeah. All right, we're up to the final question. Question number 10. Which Polish scientist is often referred to as the father of modern astronomy?
We must know this.
I reckon you've definitely heard of this guy's name.
Yeah, definitely.
I just got a telescope for Christmas as well.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, this guy, what's crazy is this guy probably didn't.
Get a telescope for Christmas?
Yeah. I mean, he probably got something for Christmas, but it wouldn't have been a telescope. I think telescopes...
It was before them, yeah.
Yeah. So telescopes, well, the European experience with telescopes didn't happen until... maybe 70-odd years later with Galileo.
Oh, so it's pre-Galileo.
So it's pre-Galileo.
Oh.
And it's funny that it's pre-Galileo because this guy is most famous for writing a book called On the Revolutions of the Celestial Spheres, published in the year before his death in 1543, which, you know, made the sun the... center of the universe, so a heliocentric concept of the universe rather than earth-centric. But the Catholic Church didn't really kick up a stink at the time, and it wasn't until Galileo kind of came up with the same or was saying the same idea that, he got in big trouble.
Does this person have a traditionally Polish-sounding name?
Well, no.
Okay. And does this person have like a set of like a constellation named after them?
He does have a bunch of stuff named after him.
Okay.
He actually probably has, I think, maybe a telescope or a satellite kind of deals.
Yeah, yeah.
Named after him.
What? What's the big telescope called, Rob? You know the big one.
The big telescope.
The name of the big telescope is escaping me at the moment, but I keep thinking about Hadron, and that's, you know, that's the collider. That's completely different.
Mm, it is completely different. NC are his initials.
NASA Chadley. Used to play Scotland.
NASA, like NASA, not NASA, like the space.
No, not like NASA, like NACER. But that was a good accidental pun.
Yeah, he's got the same first name as the saint with which Christmas Nicholas. That you get telescopes for.
Okay.
What did you say, Chloe?
Nicholas.
Nicholas is his first name.
Cage, surname.
It's Nick. That's right. It's Nick Cage. He's the Polish scientist often referred to as the father of modern astronomy. And you had some issue about the shape of his head, Rob.
Yeah. It was too moonlight for me.
I don't think we're getting it, Nick.
It is Copernicus.
Ah.
Yeah, no penny dropping there.
But like there's a different Copernicus. I don't think it's like...
Oh. You think there's a different... There's another Copernicus?
No, I think it's the same Copernicus.
It probably is.
Yeah, I think it's the same Copernicus. But I thought it was like... There was like a Copernicus from antiquity, but I think I've just made that up in my head.
Ah, right. Well, I mean, it's pretty far back, like back in the 16th century.
But I would... If you said to me... If you said to me, who's Copernicus, I would have said a Roman.
Ah, yeah. Well, yeah. He's got the kind of... He's got that Latin name.
Can we come on this podcast every week? I feel like I've learned so much.
Yeah? Have you enjoyed yourselves?
I feel like I've learned a lot. Yeah, absolutely. Excellent. Thanks so much for having us.
Oh, my absolute pleasure. It's been a joy having you both on the show. Lovely to meet you both. And your shows, Rob Orton, The Rob Orton Show, is on Tuesdays to Saturdays at 6:30 and Sunday at 5:30 at the Flag Room in the Melbourne Town Hall. And Chloe Pets, If You Can't Say Anything Nice, is on Tuesday to Saturday at 8:50 and Sunday at 7:50 at the Western 3. And people can get tickets to your shows by going to the Melbourne International Comedy Festival website. It has been such a pleasure meeting you both. Break legs for your shows. And yeah, I would love to have you back on the show anytime you'd like.
Great. We'll see you next week then.
Hey.
Excellent.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us.
Hope you enjoyed this episode of the Saturday Quiz. Thank you to my guests today, Chloe Pets and Rob Orton. Go and see their shows at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. They're both clearly very funny people. As always, the questions in this quiz were written by the great Cindy McDonald, and my thanks go to her. This episode was recorded in Naam on the land belonging to the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. I pay my respects to their elders past and present and acknowledge their traditions of sharing knowledge and stories for millennia on this land. My name's John Leary, and I'll have more questions for you same time next week.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.